of Sports, episode 39, Social Media with Rich Sullivan. This week on the Tech of Sports, Rich Sullivan. Netcast Studio mobile apps are a great way to receive our content for your smart devices. There's an app for both iOS and Android. And don't forget Stitcher Radio, the Stitcher for all iOS devices. Get Stitcher with all your favorite Netcast Studio shows preloaded. Stitcher Radio, it's an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone and tablet. Stitcher, it's smart radio for your smartphone. And the Tech of Sports is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's here. Tech of Sports is a production of Netcast Studio at netcaststudio.com. You can join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific at netcaststudio.com. You can join the chat room and watch and listen to the show, everyone. Tonight, after a little hiatus for the holidays and for attending a couple shows and covering CES and the PGA Golf Show last week, so it's really our first show of 2013, and got a really great show tonight. Excited to have you join us, and excited to have you listen, because we're gonna talk social media tonight and sports and a few other things, and just how that impacts the life we live and how we watch sports, and does it hurt attendance in sports, and we're just gonna talk about numerous things with Rich Sullivan, who is gonna be a wealth of knowledge. 15 years experience broadcasting as a producer. He's been on-air talent, a social media coordinator, and he knows social media and how it can benefit an individual and an organization. He's a great communicator, gives a lot of his time to charity, marketing, spokesperson, television, radio. He's done it all. And, Rich, it's great to have you tonight. Thanks for getting acquainted with Skype and coming on the air with us.
Hey, Rick, I really appreciate the chance to be with you, and look forward to chatting with you tonight.
Yeah, it's I know you're happy to be on, but we're even happier to have you on. So it's going to be fun, and you are a frequent poster on Twitter and in social media about social media. So, I mean, you're a great follow. At Rich Sullivan is your Twitter account, and people can really pick up some good little tidbits. You scour the internet for information, and they're a little quick, sometimes a little quick posts, but they really, if you read them, you go deep, and you always have a purpose for what you post. And just kind of talk about kind of your first, we'll look back and go back, kind of your first experience, and what did you think of when it first came out, and how you know how it's grown and been a part of your life, and how you really developed your love and use of it. Kind of just talk about that for a minute.
Well, I did go and sign up for a Twitter account in the fall of 2008, and I really did not at the time understand a lot about Twitter at that time. I was really quite the MySpace guy back in the day. Really enjoyed it, loved the music on it, and thought that it was a pretty decent community. And then by 2008, Facebook was really coming along pretty big. I did sign up for Twitter, and I'm sure a lot of people who are listening to us and watching us tonight probably do the same thing, in that they want to get on these new emerging social networks just to secure their name on there. So I just wanted to get on there just to get at Rich Sullivan for my Twitter, and did not do an awful lot with it, maybe for about another year and a half. So it was really probably in 2010 when I really got to really understand what Twitter was and some of the many uses that it has in many different things. I mean, especially news. I know that if anybody is on Twitter, it is really just a great way to get news and information very fast. And that's probably one of the aspects that I enjoy about Twitter the most.
Yeah, it really is the way to get news now, and to get it quickly and almost as it happens. So did you kind of, in 2008, were you working at Dave FM?
Yeah, I was still at the radio station then, and media companies in general, I think, have been really slow to warm to social media. I think that it's really good now, and there are very healthy signs that they're moving in the right direction and really beginning to embrace it. But even, you know, back in 2008, you would hear little things in meetings, or consultants would come in and talk about certain things. And one thing that always stuck with me was something that one consultant said about social media really leveling the playing field.
Yeah,
was that the radio audience now has its own audience. And it really hit home to me thinking about the fact that, you know, each of us, regardless of how many people we have on our Facebook page or Twitter, You know, we do have some dominion and influence over those people. And if we walk out of a restaurant or a movie theater after seeing a movie that we didn't like and we get on there and rant about it a little bit, you know, it might mean that somebody doesn't go to that restaurant again or to that movie again. So it just kind of really awoke me to the fact that the consumer has an awful lot of power these days. And that comes in the form of the mobile device and social media.
So I guess my question would be, as someone who was kind of toying with social media at the early stages, were you proactive? Did you go to the higher-ups at the radio station and say, we need to expand our presence, we need to this is something we need to start doing? Maybe they don't listen to on-air talent all that much, and they listen to that consultant, but were there meetings, and did you approach people and say, we need to start going all in on social media, and I can help?
Well, I was always a very big flag waver for social media. And again, probably that really, really started in, you know, 2009, 2010, yep, when I really began to grasp what Twitter was all about. You know, the corporate policies that are in place at a lot of these big radio companies really do constrict the local radio stations that are in your markets like Atlanta, Boston, Chicago, Los Angeles from carrying out what probably does make an awful lot of sense for that local market. They have rules and regulations and policies that have to be followed that are being authored in some office somewhere else, and they don't really understand it. But I think that things are beginning to change, and even some of these big radio companies are letting their radio stations at the local level take control of that, and I think it's very good.
Yeah, those of know you, you're also a big sports fan, and my condolences to the Rajon Rondo injury there. Rich is a big Celtics fan, and if you couldn't tell from his accent there, so he... What accent? We're the people with the accents. He's a big Boston sports fan and media. I think the world of sport has taken to social media, but I don't know of any other industry where it's had such a big impact as it does. Twitter accounts are athletes, and not the the athletes here in the United States. I mean, soccer players like Kaká and other, they have, you know, tens of millions of followers. And now we have the Super Bowl this week. Does the social media, and when you combine it with a big event like the Super Bowl, does that kind of pull off a little bit because it's too much inundated with Super Bowl things every day now? Is there kind of a delicate how social media kind of has to coexist with a big event like the Super Bowl?
I think so. But what's great about social media is that, at least on Twitter, maybe you can kind of control a little bit about how much you actually see. So you kind of get to squelch that to the point of where the amount of information that's coming in is right for you. I mean, you're going to be inundated with a lot of it. I mean, you turn on TV, you got ESPN with their wall-to-wall coverage, NFL Network, you know, Fox Sports and CBS are going to be going crazy and waving the flag for it. And, oh, by the way, there's a football game going on a little after 6 o'clock on Sunday night. So there's just a lot of hype to it, but I think that it's a phenomenal benefit. I mean, the NFL just has to really be happy. I mean, this, I'm sure, I don't know if the television ratings are going to be phenomenal for this Super Bowl, because I think that the matchup itself with Baltimore and San Francisco takes away some big market interest. You know, I can't see a lot of people in New York really being excited about this particular Super Bowl. Same thing with Chicago. But any mention that the NFL can get for its product out there on social media is just phenomenal, whether it's positive or negative. And, of course, the storylines that just increase during the lead up to the Super Bowl, especially the week of, there's really plenty of both positive and negative coverage out there on social media.
Yeah, I don't know if that matchup kind of determines the interest and the ratings in the Super Bowl. That might be a little overrated. If it's a great game, I think you'll see the ratings are going to be phenomenal in the fourth quarter. And I think, you know, when Green Bay is in the Super Bowl, as they've been a few times over the last 10, 15 years, they've been in some of the highest rated Super Bowls in Green market in the NFL. So I think a lot of it kind of depends on how the game goes. If it's a blowout, I think the ratings are going to be possibly in the tank for this game, but I don't see this game being a blowout. So I think that's kind of, it's gotten interesting to watch, I think, at the very least. And I was just at the PGA Golf Show all last week, and big news that broke there about social media and some the media members were talking about it, that the PGA just banned live tweeting from media members during tournaments. That includes being on the course and in the media center. I don't know exactly what they're thinking. They were kind of vague in why they did this. I guess was it maybe hurting TV ratings that people could get the Tiger Woods shot by shot update on Twitter? What kind of is your feeling about that, and how social media cover live sporting events? Does that hurt or help?
Well, I think that the PGA is making a big mistake in dismissing that, because first of all, if you're a product, if you're running a sports league or a PGA oversees golf at a very large level in this country and elsewhere, you want as many people coming to the party as possible. And I think that when you exclude social media or tell people covering your sport that they can't do this, really, I think handcuffs the proliferation of it out there on the internet. Of course, everybody wants to see Tiger Woods, and God, the ratings were great for it over the weekend out there in California. But I don't think that it's a good idea at all for them to restrict it. And golf is something really different than the other four major sports. The other four major sports: hockey, basketball, baseball, and football, you can see everything that's going on at the same time. Whereas on a golf course, there's a lot of stuff going on that you're never going to get to see. And television is never going to be able to adequately provide that true snapshot of what's going on. Social media is able to take that that viewer, that consumer online with their device or their computer right there to the 16th hole for their guy who might be putting to get back in the mix, to get to be third in the tournament with only two holes to go or something like that. And that might not make it onto television. But, if he's got somebody, a reporter following him around who's live tweeting during that, that really takes that viewer, that consumer right there. And that's something that television is going to have a really hard time providing in golf. I mean, can't have 18 channels. Or maybe you can. I don't know. But I say the more social media and the more coverage, the better. And the PGA is really missing out, especially in the fact that the majority of the audience watching golf is a little bit older, whereas the stereotype of people on Twitter is that we're a lot younger.
Yeah, that may be part of where they're kind of missing the boat. But that would be akin to a baseball game banning media from tweeting. And I know that if there's a no-hitter in progress somewhere, it's usually Twitter starts blowing up. And that makes you want to get in front of the TV and watch the last couple of no-hitters. So I think it helped in promoting the sport and promoting the event. And if you're, let's say you're out cutting the lawn or working in the yard and you see Tiger Woods has got five birdies in a row and he's making a great comeback, you might put down that and run inside and catch the last few holes of a golf tournament. So I think that kind of – I think social media adds to the excitement a little bit or can add to the excitement.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure you've experienced this too, Rick, where you're maybe in the car out running errands on a Saturday afternoon, and just like you said, the no-hitter or, something spectacular, maybe a college basketball player has, 50 points and it's, 2 minutes to go and he's about to set the school record for something, and if you're out and about, you might pull over and go into a restaurant just to catch the end of that game. And isn't that at the end of the day what the sports leagues and the teams really want? Are eyeballs on those TVs to see those commercials and consume and begin to love that product? I totally agree with you.
Yeah, eyeballs on the TV and eyeballs in the seats as well. And we'll kind of talk about that in a few minutes. But I guess as a proponent of social media, you're kind of excited to see and know that colleges and universities are starting to offer not only classes in social media marketing, but also degrees. And for people that are really interested in social media, this is a great avenue for them as far as a career. Now it's becoming that big. And what do you think about that? And our colleges and universities kind of, they were a little slow on this, I think, but are they all jumping on board because they see where this is going?
Well, what it means for me is more competition. I'm looking for work in that world, and consider myself to be a professional in that industry. And with kids coming out of school having these degrees, and hey, look, I think it's fantastic. It's high time that that our you know, schools get really embrace this, you know, sports, business, schools alike begin to acknowledge exactly what this is. I mean, it's been going on now for about 10 years at a very solid level. It started, you know, with LinkedIn and then, you know, MySpace and Facebook and Twitter. And, you know, all of a sudden, I mean, you cannot watch a commercial on television without seeing a hashtag or a link to a Facebook page on there. And a lot of times, of course, on the TV shows and games that we're watching, there's hashtags on there inviting us to join the conversation. So I think it is very wise of schools to attach themselves to that and get some sort of curriculum in place where they can begin to adequately train these people who are going to go out there into the world and eventually get a job instead of me.
Yeah, we're with Rich Sullivan, Sully here, as he's known in Atlanta, and former on-air radio talent here in the Atlanta area, popular afternoon drive, and has embraced social media, and he's still a great follow on social media, so at Rich Sullivan. And also it's kind of funny to see when you Twitter hashtags and Twitter names on TV, when you see the post game show, they'll show the media member that's talking, whether it be Terry Bradshaw or Michael Irvin, and then underneath their name it'll have their Twitter account or something. So I guess they, you know, they're trying to encourage you to follow these guys. And I also, when you're talking about sports, not only about the play-by-play action following Twitter, but I think Twitter gives great insights on a lot of the backstories and a lot of the things that you don't see on TV. You can learn a lot of things or see a lot of behind-the-scenes type things by following a certain team or person or beat reporter on Twitter or Facebook. And I think that's where, again, that's where social media really shines. You don't get that information in a newspaper, especially cutting back and getting smaller. And Twitter and Facebook are really becoming our, like you said, our ways we get news and kind of our newspapers. And we don't want to get the information. It's all right there every minute, constantly being updated in front of our eyes.
No, it is. And I know that you spend a lot of time here in the Atlanta area. I happen to love the Braves broadcasters on radio. Jim Powell, who's been the voice of the Braves for a couple of seasons now, and Don Sutton. I don't think that Don is on Twitter right now, but Jim Powell is on there, and it's just great. It's great to be able to listen to the ball game, and when they go to commercial break, he might tweet something out. I'll get a plug in for a guy who I like a lot as a Red Sox fan, Joe McDonald, Joey ESPN, it's at ESPN Joey Mac on Twitter. It's just great, giving you a lot of that backstory, a lot of that clubhouse stuff, the little rumors that are going on, and great information coming to you. And it doesn't need to be this overwhelming big blog post. Sometimes it can be as much as a very simple headline, hey, here's what happened, you know, click this link for more, and you go to that link, and it might only be two or three paragraphs, but it's giving me, the fan, a little more insight, which is really cool. So there are some great personalities and reporters out there to follow, and certainly some teams and some athletes themselves who really do a great job providing that information and that behind-the-scenes look on social media.
Yeah, and since we're both in the Atlanta area, another great follow is the Braves beat reporter for the AJC, Dave O'Brien. He not only gives you information on everything with the Braves as far as if they're going to call up people from the minors or, you know, nuts and bolts baseball type things, but he's also he'll review the latest album he picks up since he's on the road all the time and music that he listens to, and he'll tell you everything from, you know, where to get the best fish taco in L.A. to to reviewing quality of hotels and things. So I mean, it's more than just sports. These guys are. They know that they got to pull people in with something more than just saying, Tim Hudson's got a blister and he's going to be miss a start or something like that. So those are the type of people I like to follow.
Yeah, Jeff Schultz, just when you were talking about the dinner, you know, Jeff Schultz of the AJC, I think it's at AJC Jeff Schultz. It's the same thing. You know, you're going to get some news and some commentary from him, but you're also going to hear about the random weird thing that he observed in the Minneapolis airport or something. So it's just kind of cool. Yeah, and you're so right about what you said, Rick, about more than just the information. You know, that's the key, that's really the key to social media, and it really applies to the sports world in a big way. You can't just give out the statistics and the score and people get bored by that. Yeah, they're going to tune it out. You have to be interesting. People want to consume good stuff. And if you're not putting it out there, you're going to find your following is going to decrease and people aren't going to listen to you anymore.
Yeah, it adds that human element kind of to it. And you know, sports is it's more than just about what goes on the field in this day and age. And it wasn't that way back in the days of, you know, Babe Ruth and Joe DiMaggio. A lot of all the back stuff never got reported and that type of thing. But now, now we get all that. So I don't know if that's good or bad for the players, but know that things. And you know, these people are celebrities, and our country is fascinated by celebrities. We want to know everything they're doing. So we're not only keeping up with the Kardashians, we're keeping up with everyone in sports. So social media really helps that. And we're with Rich Sullivan here talking sports and social media and social media and a bunch of other things. And Rich, appreciate having you on. I'm just going to do a quick break here, spot for Amazon.com. And just want to let anyone know, if you're doing any shopping in the coming weeks, we have Valentine's Day coming up. And then that, of course, is followed by Mother's Day and Father's Day. You can use the affiliate link here at the studio, netcaststudio.com/Amazon. It doesn't cost you anything extra. And you can order all the same things you do on Amazon. And you know, here and all the programming that that the studio offers. And it's netcaststudio.com/Amazon. And Amazon's more than just books and records now. You can buy everything from diapers to energy bars. And we do a lot of shopping on Amazon. And if you use that link, netcaststudio.com/Amazon, it helps out the studio. And Amazon does a great job with social media as well, as far as getting all their deals out, their daily deals. Everything changes every day. So there's your tie-in with Amazon and social media. And Rich, one thing I'm kind of curious about, and I kind of follow this a little bit, when professional and college teams started, they were a little scared of social media, thinking it was going to hurt attendance at their events, and then they realized there was a way they could embrace it. And I know the Atlanta Hawks were one of the first teams that started offering deals on social media, and then a social media section in the Phillips Arena where you could sit with other, if you bought your tickets through that deal, you could sit with other people that were active on social media as well and meet those people. I don't know if that was kind of their answer to Match.com or something. I just pictured a bunch of people sitting in a section with their heads down and typing on their phone all night, never seeing the basketball game. But I know they tried that for a while, and they said it was moderately successful. But what do you think about social media helping hurting attendance at sporting events? Do they have to resort to deals like that? And you know, now a lot of the arenas are having free Wi-Fi in the arenas and stadiums, so you can tell they're kind of getting on board with that as well.
Well, teams are smart to give the fans what they want, and if they want Wi-Fi or if they want to be able to sit in a section with a bunch of other insecure social media freaks like myself.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about me.
No. I lump myself into that category right there with you. Hey, look, try it. See what works. You know, I credit the Hawks and other teams quite a bit for experimenting with it. Hey, just throw it out there. Hey, use the hashtag, you know, ATL Hawks or in the arena, they do a lot of promotions too. It used to be back in the late 90s, it was, you know, text in and get your message up on the big screen. Now it's tweet in and get your big your message up on the big screen. And that is something that's just really engaging to the fans. I mean, they will see their name up there on the big screen. They'll take a picture of it. They'll tell everybody about it. And that is, I'm sure, what the Atlanta Hawks and other sports teams want. So it's really trial and error. And, you know, like you said, the schools are just in the process of beginning solid curriculums into this. A lot is not known about social media. And I really think that the companies and teams and businesses that really kind of walk the plank a little bit and just try things are really smart, because everything deserves a chance if it has the chance to benefit your business.
It really is the Wild West when it comes to social media and sports like that. And you know, I was invited, almost 2 years ago, to a press conference at Turner Field before the start of the baseball season. And they wouldn't tell you what it was for. I kind of had an idea based on who was inviting me to it. But it wasn't about a new player or or, you know, new food items at the concession stand. It was about the Turner Field. It was one of the first stadiums they had Wi-Fi in the stadium, and not only the stadium, but also the parking lots surrounded by was reachable, and so tailgaters could also get use that free Wi-Fi. And I thought that was a genius move at that time. To the fans evidently were clamoring for it, and the Braves were forward enough thinking to give the fans free Wi-Fi. I think it was a good move.
Well, let me ask you this: when you were there for the press conference, did the Wi-Fi work?
Well, it was a week or so before the season, and they said it was going to be it would be working on opening day. I tried it. It was not working that day at the little meeting room they had. I forgave them for that, because I think they were looking to debut it on opening day and make a big splash with it. They just wanted to get the word out to the media people, and of course all the politicians were there. Grandstanding, and the mayor and whoever else, they were all trying to, I don't know how, what he had to do with getting Wi-Fi at Turner Field, but they were, the city council people were all there trying to get in the picture. It was kind of, kind of funny.
Well, they, look, that's universal. If there's a ribbon cutting or anything going on that's good, a politician definitely wants to get in that picture. I just wish that they were wearing an @Rich Sullivan shirt when they do it.
Well, are they available online? Can we get one?
We need to work on that. And maybe we can get them up, and we'll have them available at some point at Amazon.com.
That would be great. And since this is the tech of sports, talk about, I know you're kind of, a gadget hound a little bit. Do you like the latest gadgets? I know the new BlackBerry phone just came out today. Talk about kind of the gadgets and the technology you use when you are at the radio station and in your professional and personal life. What do you have on your desk?
Well, I cannot believe that it is only in August of 2012 that I finally parted ways with BlackBerry. I was very loyal to BlackBerry up until the very end, and then I did put an iPhone 4S in my hand, and I was like, wow, the internet actually, it works. I can click on stuff and it comes up like almost like right away. This is cool. BlackBerry has their work cut out for them. I mean, it's going to be an uphill battle for them to get back into this market. And it's just crazy to think that 10 years ago, or you know, maybe a little bit more, that they were just the leading edge. I saw a picture on Twitter the other day of one of those old red BlackBerry Pearls. And, I mean, you and I, we have very vivid memories of when that was state-of-the-art technology. And to just think of how far back in the rearview mirror that thing is now is pretty unbelievable. I'm an iPhone guy. I really enjoy it. I do spend a little bit of time on my Windows laptop. Of course, I use Hootsuite quite a bit. I have a couple of apps. Being the sports fan that I am, I really do like Yahoo's Sportacular. I think that's pretty awesome. Updates very frequently. It has a chat feature in there. You can tweet out the news articles, which are posted there very easily, so it interacts with your Twitter account very soundly. And one thing on that subject, I think where a lot of sports teams make mistakes, specifically the Boston Bruins, from my hometown, of course, you do not need to provide live play-by-play on a Twitter account. A little score update there, here and there, that's cool. But for the most part, I think that consumers are definitely, if they're on the phone, they're using an app to follow the game. And if they're an avid fan, they're certainly watching the game. But I think that bombarding a Twitter feed, the main Twitter feed of a sports team with just, constant play-by-play updates is really kind of pointless. But, yeah, Yahoo Sportacular app, can't say enough about them. I think they're great.
It's a good one, and we're on the air here with Rich Sullivan. Sully is back on the air. Well, it's the internet. Does it feel good, Sully? You were usually about kind of wrapping up right about now. So, I'm sure a lot of fans are happy to hear your voice, and the muzzle is off. Sully is on the air here. So great to have you, Rich, and we've got a couple more questions. And how does it feel to be talking to your people?
Well, Rick, it's good to be talking to you, of course. And, hey, look, if I've brought one or two people to the party here, I'm very happy to be able to do it. But, no, just always good to get the chance to talk to you, and especially to talk a little bit about technology and social media. So it's a lot of fun.
You know, you're not getting the urge to introduce a song or anything right now, are you?
Here's Coldplay. Here's REM. Hey, that was the new song from Mumford & Sons that you heard 6,000 times.
There you go. You wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, probably.
I hear those banjos and, you know, of Mumford & Son and Chris Martin of Coldplay crying off in the distance, you know?
Gosh, that's unbelievable. Well, it is great to have you on. And one other thing, and we'll turn a little serious here for Amanda. You're really involved with charities and non-for-profits. And I think one of the biggest benefactors of social media has been charities and non-for-profits, because they're always squeezed when it comes to that financial side of things, as far as getting the word out and promoting events they do and all their causes. And social media has really allowed them, for cheap or for no outlay of money, to really promote what they do and get the word out about all the good work. And you've been on board with a lot of charities and devote a lot of your time. Is that kind of how you've seen it from your perspective when it comes to?
Well, you're building me up way bigger than I actually am. I'm just one guy who helps out a little bit.
Just run with it, Sully. Just run with it.
But social media is so key in fundraising. One particular group, there are two groups that I work with primarily throughout the year. One of them is St. Baldrick's. It's a pediatric cancer research charity. They are the largest private grant writer for children's cancer research in the world. The only one ahead of them is the United States federal government in writing those grants. And it's a volunteer-driven organization. It's just people out there like myself and the tens of others who will shave, thousands of other people who will shave their head to stand in solidarity with the little kids who have cancer. And we raise money, and the symbol of being bald is you go into work on Monday after the event and everybody asks you, and then you tell them about the charity and the work and the importance of it, and that's wonderful. But social media is just a phenomenal vehicle for fundraising. And it's not really about just getting on there and saying, hey, donate to me. What social media does is it gives you the ability to really personalize it, to tell a little story. And Twitter, it's more difficult because you only have 140 characters to tell that story. But Facebook, you have a lot more, and you can really kind of, when you post the link to your donation page as you're raising the amount of money that you're hoping to meet for your goal, you can talk about the charity and really what it means to you and if there's any sort of personal connection to it. And really be authentic in that post and say, look, hey, if you can't donate, that's fine. I get it. But could you repost this? You know, could you maybe pass this along, put it on your page and encourage your friends to maybe support me? And there's a lot of synergy out there, but it just has to be harnessed in the right way. And it really stems from being authentic, genuine. And it really is cool to see people doing great things and using social media as the vehicle for it.
Well, don't sell yourself short, Sully. Anytime you volunteer, anytime anyone volunteers their time and their efforts for charities and non-for-profits like that, it should be commended whether you want the recognition or not. And people in Atlanta appreciate it. And I think social media in the right person's hands with a non-for-profit is a pretty valuable tool.
No, it is. It's amazing. And it's amazing to watch the nonprofits grow social media, because they're trying to learn this uncharted waters that we're in, along with all the sports teams and businesses, and there's new people coming to the party every day. And hey, look, soon there'll be degreed people. There'll be people out there with their masters in social media who can come in and really put good programs in place. But for now, it's kind of a little bit fly by the seat of your pants, along with using the simple things that we know and learn about every single day just by staying on top of the current trends in social media.
Absolutely. And we're again with Rich Sullivan talking a little social media. And Rich, we always give my guests at this point in time a chance to get the word out about anything you want to promote and how people can follow you and anything else you have going on. And this is this is that part of that interview where you had to let that person kind of just get all their plugs in, and I can sit back and catch my breath for a minute. So you know how it works.
I do know how it works. Well, let's see. Let's start with the sponsor of this show. Go to Amazon.com. Do all of your shopping there. They're fantastic. Proud sponsor of my good friend Rick. So do some business with them. No, you can, of course, catch up with me on Twitter. I'm on there at Rich Sullivan. I also blog about social media. It's kind of unformed and just me talking about my theories and things that I believe. You can check that out. It's on Tumblr, and it's richsull, richsull.tumblr.com. But if you are in the giving mood at all, I'm on St. Baldrick's, and I just tweeted out something about St. Baldrick's. So if you hit my Twitter, which is at Rich Sullivan, you can see my little donation link there. Just make sure that I got that. Yep, it's up there. Just tweeted it. So you can check that out and support a great organization in their fight to make sure that no child has to endure cancer in the future.
Great cause, and I recommend everyone to check that out. And I always ask all my guests one last question at the end, and you may be kind of led on to this a little bit, but what's the one piece of technology or gadget that you can't live without?
Got to go the iPhone. I know you're a Droid guy, right, Rick?
Yeah, I'm an Android guy.
Yeah, my brother he works for a big school up north, and he's in IT up there, and he's a Droid guy too, swears by it, loves it. But I'm an iPhone guy. I like it. I like the applications. I like the fastness of it. And you're right. Since August of 2012, it has not left my hand.
So that new BlackBerry 10 that just came out today, you're not tempted at all. Huh? You're not getting the shakes or anything, wanting to go back?
Well, I'm gonna have to get a job first to go out and afford one of those things. But who knows? I'll check it out. Look, BlackBerry was just so good, and I'd love to see them be able to get their foot back in the middle of this thing. But I think that it's really going to be an uphill battle because, the Android technology has really crushed it. iPhone has become a standard for a lot of people that they don't want to make a departure from. And BlackBerry's just kind of in the rearview mirror. I'm curious to see what happens with this new device. And I mean, they're advertising in the Super Bowl this year. If that's not taking a whole bunch of chips and putting it on one number at the roulette table, I don't know what is.
This is all in for BlackBerry.
Yeah, I mean, because that ad is not cheap. They do not have a lot of money to spend. So let's see what they do with it. It should be pretty interesting to watch.
Yep, will be interesting to watch. And Rich, thanks for coming on. It's been a joy, and you did a great job. And Skype worked out pretty well for you.
Yeah, I'm new to Skype. I'm losing my Skype virginity. So to speak. I can say that, right? We're not on regular radio.
Yeah, just don't use my name in connection with that.
Well, hey, Rick, it's been a treat. I appreciate you having me on, and I really like that little blender that you have in the background back there.
Yeah, I didn't clean up behind me there. So this is my temporary office while we have my brother staying with us upstairs. So I'm booted down to the kitchen here temporarily, but appreciate it, Sully, and keep up the good work. We'll talk soon, and thanks for coming on.
You as well. At Rick Roswell on Twitter. Give him a follow.
Yep, and just want to let everyone know that Netcast Studio has many other shows which may be of interest to you. You can head over to netcaststudio.com. Check out all those shows, technology, and lots of other subjects. Network Radio CSS at radiocss.com. And you've been listening to The Tech of Sports, a Netcast Studio production, Sully. But you want to take us out with introduce a song and take us out?
Here's Coldplay.
Thanks, Sully. You've been listening to The Tech of Sports podcast on Netcast Studio production.
Good night, everybody.